This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We're exactly 2 weeks away to the start of a brand new decade. And what better way to prepare for a new decade than to take stock of the last 10 years on the Decade in Review special on Resource Centre. Hey there, I'm Audrey Raj. And on this episode of the Decade in Review, we're focusing on digital transformation. Yes, it was the buzzword of the decade before this one, but research shows that 70% of transformations have been unsuccessful. And to help us understand how companies should be rethinking their approach to transformation and what digital transformation could look like in the next decade, we have with us on the show today some friends from McKinsey.
Thank you, Audrey. I'm Nimal Manuel. I'm a senior partner and emerging partner for McKinsey in Malaysia. I do most of my work around Southeast Asia, a combination of Malaysia, Philippines, and Indonesia. And functionally, the areas I work in is digital transformation. But what does that mean? So it's helping companies scale up new digital businesses. It's helping companies drive value through analytics. And then beyond that, the bread and butter work McKinsey does around strategy.
And I'm Ed Locke. I am McKinsey's lead for their transformation practice across Southeast Asia. I'm based in Bangkok, but I work across all of the countries in Southeast Asia. I take two types of roles in companies. So I do traditional consultant advisory roles for companies as they transform or as they adopt digital working methods. But I also take interim management roles in those companies.
How has the definition of digital transformation changed over the last decade?
So I think at the beginning of the decade, transformation was very much a buzzword. People knew about it. People knew that they needed to talk about it, but we didn't really see it frequently in business outside of a few very specific areas. Today, I think what we see, though, is that it's actually a requirement. Mm. All businesses really need to think about how can they reinvent themselves based on the possibilities for digital. So I think over the last decade, we've probably seen two real evolutions. The first is that people have gone from deployment or deploying very small pilots in different parts of their businesses to deliver specific pieces of value with specific use cases. And that's typically been at quite small scale originally. What we now see is that that's evolved into in the very best companies, we see that that's evolved into companies being able to, yes, do the pilots, but to actually make those pilots become at-scale deployments of that technology, which deliver new sources of revenue, new sources of efficiency for the business, really at scale. So that's the first of the evolutions. I think the second evolution that we've seen is around the focus on specific technologies for use cases. So originally it was very much based on here's a really cool, really interesting digital solution to a problem, mm-hmm. and that was a discrete deployment. And now a digital transformation is a much more holistic revamp of the business. So we think about it in three ways. We think, yes, first of all, you have to have the right use cases with the right digital background to them, but you also need to really work on the people side. So people need to learn to love, and I mean really learn to love, the way that this digital technology can help them to work differently. And people need different skills to be able to develop that and to use it. And then the third dimension around that is the technology backbone. So a lot of investment now from businesses in making sure that they have the architecture behind the different use cases so that they can scale them up more effectively. And then secondly, that they look after their data particularly mm-hmm. as an asset. So data is no longer something that you just feed into a use case. It's something that you actually see as a source of business value. And so you treat it like that.
I'd add two things. The first one is we find ourselves getting called very often to clients where they've tried over the past few years to try to get value from digital. And what's changed really is this mindset of, and Ed talked to this, technology-led historically versus now business-led. Mm. And that's a core change which we see companies and businesses now internalize. It's not rocket science, but everyone's been exposed to vendors pushing technologies. Mm. That's not how this works. This works around, I've got a business problem. I find a technology fit for purpose to fix that business problem.
You know, maybe about 10 years ago, you kept hearing about how, especially in the financial vertical, how there were digital transformation offices being placed in the
C-suite. In the company.
Then after a while, you heard about how they did away with the DTO, and they said that, you know, it was everyone's responsibility in the company to, well, help with the digital transformation of the entity. But now we're hearing more and more of these DTOs coming back onto the board. Is that just part of that evolution and that shift from, like what you said earlier, Nimal, you know, from tech forward instead of business forward?
So I think it's useful separating two things. The first thing is kind of tech forward versus business forward. I think unambiguously it should be business forward. And then you figure out what tech pieces you need to kind of fill the gaps, number one. Number two, how you choose to organize yourself to capture that depends on where the opportunity lies and depends on your ambition. If you are a financial institution, let's take your example, and you had the aspiration that I'm going to use digital and analytics to wholesale transform my existing processes and how I go to market, it's going to permeate the whole organization. Mm. If that is your aspiration, and you know exactly where those sources of value are within the organization, you need to have the whole organization energized and following through and doing this. Now, in that case, the role of a digital transformation office or an officer, what have you, his role is different, right? Because his role is to facilitate, to enable, because the business drives it. He enables and not the other way around, because otherwise it just won't scale. And that's the biggest challenge, by the way. Ed said it's right, right? People are shifting in terms of awareness. They see where the value is. The biggest struggle still is how to scale.
All right, I understand that McKinsey did a study on digital transformation, and you found that 70% of transformations in businesses have been unsuccessful. Maybe you can talk to us a bit about the study and why like such a large chunk of these transformations have been unsuccessful.
Yeah, I can do. So it's a slightly depressing picture, to be honest. We've done this research over a period of time, and every 2 to 3 years we look at it, and every 2 to 3 years the result is the same. So if you look at all of the transformations, digital and others, that are done, 70% of them failed 10 years ago, and 70% of them still fail today, which means that people really aren't learning, I think, the lessons from the past on how to make things different. And so when we look into the data in a little bit more detail to really understand what are the causes, it's actually, again, quite surprising. So what we don't see is that people have don't have the ideas. It's not about people not being able to think their way out of the problem and to think their way to a transformation. It's actually much more on the softer side. So of those 70% that fail, 70% of them fail because the people are not right. And that's either that the leadership haven't learned how to manage and how to learn and are not leading it properly, or it's that the people across the organization are not inspired and are not really changing the way that they work to make sure that the business is transformed.
So I'm just looking at a little excerpt here from your study that says, many companies are holding themselves back when they focus on improving performance.
Ed talked about the triple transformation, right? The digital transformation, what does that mean? It's got to be business-led. We've talked about that. You need the technology enablers. No way around it, but linked to the business problem you're trying to solve. The third thing we haven't talked a whole lot about is people. Mm. And Ed has talked about this a little bit. But holding themselves back, what does it mean? The reason most transformations, in our view, fail is because, digital or not, by the way, is because at the end of the day, you need people to do something differently. Mm. Whatever job they're doing, they need to be thinking about how I'm going to do it more efficiently or how I'm going to do it just structurally differently, now enabled by technology, by digital, by analytics. What does that mean? So Audrey, how long have you been doing this job?
15 years.
15 years. You've got a way you do it, job, right?
Yeah,
you've got
yeah.
a way you talk to us. There's a way you kind of do your job. And you've done it for 15 years. When you do something for 15 years, it becomes habit. It becomes ingrained in you. It's no different from anyone else. And if you want people to change their behavior, you can't just say, here's a smartphone, here's a cool app, please do your job differently. People have got to change their mindset, their behavior, and that requires real effort. And that's just not technology. That's more the art of how to get people to change how they behave.
I'm also looking at your report here, and it says transformation is not business as usual. You might need to take a step back if you're feeling comfortable.
Yeah.
If you're feeling comfortable, yeah. So that's what you mean. You're going to need that shift in mindset in order to do something different, in order to exact this change.
At two levels, right? Number one, from a business need, don't get complacent. But number two, from a people, your whole organization, people get comfortable, right? People form habit, people get comfortable. People need to change how they do their job.
I think there we're also talking a little bit about the leadership dimension there. So if leaders are comfortable that the ambition that they've set for themselves is achievable, the ambition is probably not enough. Mm-hmm. To really transform your business, you need to challenge yourself as a leader. What is the best that I think I can achieve? And then take it another step beyond that. Otherwise, you're really not looking hard enough.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break now for some messages, but when we come back, what companies should focus on to ensure successful digital transformations? It's our Decade in Review special on Resource Center. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the Resource Center Decade in Review special on digital transformation. My name is Audrey Raj, and with me in the studio today discussing transformations are Nimal Manuel and Ed Locke from McKinsey & Company. All right, what do you think needs to be focused on to ensure that these transformations are successful? We've got people, we need it to be business-led, and it needs to be tech-enabled, obviously. But aside from all of this, what else needs to be focused on to ensure that digital transformations are successful?
So I have a very simple way of thinking about this. I think for people to be successful, they need three things. So they need the ambition, they need the people change inside the organization, and then need the robust execution methodology to really make that happen. So ambition means, what's the best performance I can have? How can I adopt digital or other tools to really change the way that my business gets revenue and the business that my business works? The people side is, how do I equip my people with the right abilities to work differently and the right capabilities to bring different solutions. And then the execution angle is, how do I make sure that this really happens? We see a lot of people, particularly in Southeast Asia, who have great, great ambition, but that they fall down on the people and the execution dimension. So those are, for me, the three really important things to get right.
Any other resources necessary to make this happen?
If you think a lot about it, we've covered a lot of things, right? It's a lot of work to get that done, right? I need to have an aspiration or an ambition which is big. But I don't particularly like the word digital transformation. I think you want to transform your organization towards an intent. Digital is a tool to get there. Not every company needs a digital transformation. Every company wants to improve their performance, and what's required for different companies will be different. But I need big aspirations, big ambitions. I need a plan. I need to understand kind of if it's digital, given what I want to achieve, given the problems I want to solve, what is the role of technology, what's the role of digital, what's the role of analytics? Once I've got all that done, I've got a plan. Then how do I get there? Then there's a big tech enablement that needs to happen and a big people enablement that needs to happen. And each of those three steps are non-trivial.
So over the last 10 years, we've seen the emphasis on digital transformation shift, not just from the corporates, but down to small and medium businesses as well. I know, Nimal, you are working with some SMEs on their digital transformations. You guys are pretty hands-on. Talk to us a bit about their journey of transformation, these small businesses.
So if you look at the Malaysian economy, give or take, I mean, it's not exactly right. It's about 40-30-30. 40% of economy is made of SMEs, 30% what I call mid-tiers, and 30% large corporates, give or take. Now, the large corporates are typically aware of the opportunity, typically been doing pilots, have learned through trial and error that start with the business, start with the use case, start with the problem, then apply technology. And their struggle is more scale up. How do I secure impact at scale as opposed to a few pilots here and there? Mm. That's the corporate challenge. Now, if you talk about mid-tier and SME, let me talk about mid-tier first. Mid-tier for me is a sweet spot because there's about 10,000 mid-tier companies in Malaysia. There's close to 1 million SMEs.
Yes.
Right? So there's 10,000 mid-tier companies in Malaysia driving a third of our economy. from a national perspective, if we can unlock productivity and efficiency in mid-tiers, it's a massive uptick on the economy. They are a bit less aware. They're a bit less ahead of the curve, or they're a bit behind the curve in terms of the journey they've been on, right? They're starting the pilots. They're starting to experiment. It's a bit harder for them as well because a lot of the investments that a large corporate can scale across the business, a mid-tier struggles to do so because it is smaller. And so I think the kind that the ambition we've observed ends up being a bit smaller just because of the scale. And so they've also got to be much more thoughtful about what they chew and how to then have impact across the organization. But I personally think for Malaysia and countries like Malaysia, kind of mid-market countries, the mid-tier opportunity is a big opportunity. Now, SME. SME is interesting because SMEs, you can't do it the same way a corporate does it. SME, you know, you've got an entrepreneur who runs everything. He's out building business, he's selling, he's doing everything. He's got no time to worry about this digital thing and that analytics thing. It's got to be packaged solutions that these guys can deploy at scale easy and fast. And they're slowly coming in the market. But the challenge with SMEs are awareness and adoption, because if you're an SME, you know, I've got a problem around, okay, I want to do more digital marketing. I've got a traditional sales force that goes door to door. How do I digitalize it? I look around, it's kind of intimidating because there's so many solutions out there. Where do I start? And there, you know, I see a role for intermediaries to actually, you know, help SMEs kind of navigate this. There's a role for government to help SMEs navigate this, to get to actually how I get moving with solutions. I don't want customized stuff. I don't have time for that, but with prepackaged solutions.
So earlier this year, I was speaking with a digital transformation expert from Adobe, and he suggested that technology is not the biggest obstacle that's faced by SMEs in trying to execute a successful transformation, but it's actually the people.
People.
Is that what you notice as well? Is that
your
observation?
Any company.
Yeah?
Any company, right? I mean, think about, I mean, we've talked at length about corporates. And corporates is how do I get people to think differently and do things differently. And SME's got a slightly different challenge, right? Because you've got an SME of 30, 40 people. Everyone's, by the way, multiplexing and doing three different jobs. No one's got time.
But they're definitely more agile, you know, and capable of change.
They're much more agile, much more capable of change, which I say that the people challenge is different. It's different, which is I need a solution that fits for purpose for my scale, smaller. And then B, in a corporate entity, you can have a team focus on digital and helping to facilitate that journey. In SME, you just don't have the scale to do that. You know, the guy who's kind of selling on the one hand has been asked by the boss, hey, can you go check out that solution? I think we need something here. And everyone's doing that, right? So it's just harder to kind of be aware and adopt in the same way a corporate can. It's a different kind of people problem.
But look, for me, I'm actually super excited about the opportunities that this gives to smaller companies. I think if we look back at the beginning of the decade, the data shows us that it was easier for larger companies to create value. They had the capital to invest, and so the big companies were really the value creators. I think now you see a shift away from big people being, or big companies being the value creators, towards fast companies being the value creators. So people who can be more agile, people who can redeploy resources much more quickly, are much more able to create value. And that is much easier for an SME or for a startup to do than it is for a large company. So if I'm an SME or if I'm a startup, I'm super excited now because I'm now empowered and I have the abilities to be able to actually create value at that scale.
And actually, it's worth differentiating two kinds of SMEs, right? There's for want of a better word, this word is overused, but a digital native SME, very different from a traditional SME. Because a startup, a digital native SME, it's amazing how nimble they are and how fast they move and they disrupt and create value through disruption. The challenge I think we face as a nation is more the traditional SMEs and how to get more traditional SMEs to apply that nimbleness to technology and digital.
What would you say has been the biggest disruptor in the digital transformation scene?
But for me, it is digital transformation that has been the disruptor. Huh? That has disrupted pretty much every industry. And you look at industries who think they will never be disruptive, disrupted, and then they get disrupted. Mm-hmm. Even traditional oil and gas companies, which are very difficult to see, you know, how can they change their revenue model? But it's about how do they produce much more effectively using digital to be significantly more efficient. And so they have very, very different ways of operating now. And if you're not at the front of that game, then you get left behind.
All right. And just before we go, guys, you know, what do you see happening in the next decade? What will digital transformation look like? How will we define it? What will our expectations of digital transformation be like in the coming decade?
So it's very simple for me. Digital will be like electricity. It'll be everywhere and it'll be part of the lifeblood of how we do business.
I think you're going to see a couple of shifts that make it the electricity. Number one is analytics and data have been largely under-leveraged. People are talking about it. There's a lot of buzz about it. But the extent to which people have scaled and seen impact from the use of analytics and data, I think we've been barely scratching the surface. You're going to see so much more of that in the next decade that it'll be exciting, yet scary as well. As a consumer, a little bit scary, but very exciting. I think that's one major shift you're going to see. Number two, I think you're going to see much more pragmatic approach to the infrastructure companies need to enable digital transformations. What I mean by that is, in this past decade, a lot of it was homegrown. I do myself. Going forward, you're going to see many more cloud deployments, many more outsourced implementations of infrastructure, because the magic and the value is not in the infrastructure and the asset. The magic and the value is in terms of what I do with it. And then number three, but it is by no means comprehensive, but in terms of how companies go to market, people are shifting, spend is shifting towards much more digital media. You're going to see so much more of that. Right now, you know, people talk about, you know, how do I shift from 90% traditional media to 60 or 70%? And I've got a lot of friends in traditional media, and it's going to be a struggle. But I think you're going to see so much more of that shift happening going forward. And people don't yet understand the power of digital marketing.
It's already happening in the States, yeah, that shift towards more online compared to traditional media.
And it's happening in many less developed markets as well. And I think you're going to see a lot of it, much more of it happening here, because it's, I mean, the market, what do you call the MROI, the marketing ROI, it's just so much higher. It's so much measurable, so much more measurable. And I just picked three examples, right, Audrey? I mean, so many different dimensions where you're going to see it. And like Ed said, it's going to be like electricity, because every aspect of your business is going to be enabled by it.
And any advice for companies out there? How should they be rethinking their approach to transformation moving forward?
So I think my number one piece of advice to every leader is be super ambitious. You really need to push the envelope of what you believe is possible. You need to think of everything that digital can do to help you stay ahead of your competitors and, if possible, reinvent your business. If you're not redeploying capital, if you're not deploying digital, deploying new ways of working on a regular basis, then you will be disrupted and you will be left behind.
I think that's exactly right. And I'll give you one example. All the things we talked about is a given, right? Business-led and what have you. But being ambitious, being non-incremental. So, as an example, a company that wants to kind of shift more of its service of its consumers from traditional channels to social media, what have you, the mindset might be, maybe I want to go from 90% to 85% to 80%. The mindset should be from 80% to 20%.
Oof.
Because that's when you see the impact. Because then you do things differently and you truly harness the power of digital. And in fact, it is dangerous in this in a digital kind of sphere being incremental, because you won't see the true value you can get. You've got to be disruptive. You've got to be overly ambitious, because that's when you get the power of digital.
On that note, I'd like to thank these gentlemen again for taking the time to speak with us. Thank you, Nimal Manuel and Ed Locke from McKinsey & Company. Now, for more on how the world of work and business has evolved in the last decade, don't forget to join us again next week, same time, same place on Resource Center, where we'll be discussing intellectual property then now, and what's in store for us in the coming decade. And don't forget, you can catch up with some of our other Decade in Review episodes by searching for the podcast on our website, bfm.my, and on the BFM app. You can also find us on Spotify and all other platforms that host podcasts. My name is Audrey Raj. Catch you again next week. This is BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.